Now, if you're buying a car, of course, you can't assemble one of those yourselves. But the auto industry is trying to reassemble itself and is facing a really big deadline this week.
We need an auto industry in this country. There are millions of lives, livelihoods that depend on it, not just at the auto companies, but spin-off manufacturers, dealers, and so on. So we have a real interest in seeing the auto industry survive. But it's going to require a major restructuring.
It's David Axelrod, senior advisor to President Obama on Meet the Press yesterday. GM and Chrysler's deadline comes tomorrow. They have to submit new restructuring plans under a $17.4 billion federal bailout, steps to cut excess workers, close surplus factories. They're expected to be part of the plans, and those companies in the UAW have been talking all about what's going to be in those agreements that are going to be submitted to the government. Meanwhile, the big news today is that the Obama administration has stepped away from the idea of appointing a car czar. Instead, there will be a presidential panel to oversee the auto industry, and Timothy Geithner at the Treasury Secretary, or at the Department of the Treasury, is going to be overseeing the details of the auto industry bailout. Justin Hyde, reporter for the Detroit Free Press, joins us from Washington. I imagine in Detroit, there's a lot of interest in this deadline and what's going on in Washington. First of all, if there's no car czar, does this suggest that the Obama administration believes things are well in hand?
It's unclear. I think that given the scope of the panel that the Obama administration is setting up, I think they believe it's going to take a lot of energy to and attention to get the industry back to where it needs to be. We're not really clear on exactly how big this panel is, but it's going to be drawing people from several different agencies, transportation, labor, EPA, and Treasury. The restructuring plan that GM and Chrysler are going to submit may take a couple of years to put into effect, and it's not clear exactly how much more money they might ask the government for.
Well, Justin Hyde, let's think for a moment about what could be in this plan that's submitted on Tuesday that could really be a non-starter. We certainly saw auto executives come to Washington the first time they were pleading for some sort of federal bailout and really returning with hats in hand from, you know, private jets and notions of executive pay. What is it that could be in this agreement that would really, put the government on notice that maybe things aren't going to work out?
Well, there could be the issue of bankruptcy. There's been some reports that GM might consider bankruptcy. Chrysler has said bankruptcy won't be an option, but there are a lot of outside experts and analysts, even in Detroit, who believe that the market has shrunk down so much that Chrysler simply won't be able to prove that it's viable. If there is some deeper cut into union benefits, into retiree and health care benefits proposed by this deal, that might make it politically difficult. And remember, the Obama administration, in addition to wanting the industry to recover, also wants to see it build more fuel-efficient vehicles. If there's some issue where the industry suggests it might be difficult to meet some of those goals, those could cause some political ripples in Washington as well.
Now, it seems like the interests are radically different for GM and Chrysler in the sense that the Chrysler bailout, Cerberus, the owner of Chrysler, it seems to me, is in a position where it really can't go to bankruptcy because the value of all of its equity in Chrysler goes to zero, whereas bankruptcy might actually be a refuge for General Motors, even though they've complained about it for so long.
Well, it's pretty clear that no matter what Cerberus does, it's going to see its equity shrink, if not disappear, in Chrysler. Even if it doesn't go to bankruptcy, it's on the hook to give that equity to the union, to the bondholders, who are sitting there now at being asked for concessions. It's going to have to swap that equity out. The same is true for GM. It would still be in control if it stays out of bankruptcy, but it's going to have to give new equity to bondholders and the UAW as well. I think the issue of bankruptcy is when it was first proposed back in December, there was a great concern that it would be calamitous and things would basically fall apart in the industry, not just at GM and Chrysler, but perhaps at Ford. There may be a situation now that people can imagine a way to put a company like this into bankruptcy and any knock-on effects, but it's very unclear. There's never been a major automotive bankruptcy. We have no clue how it would affect thousands of suppliers, dealers, the unions, and other people up and down the chain.
Yeah, and on that question of bankruptcy, perhaps it is the UAW which really holds the cards here, and the indication of what concessions the UAW is ready to give to prevent bankruptcy or maybe to assist the companies to go into bankruptcy, that will be certainly something something that everyone's going to be looking at. Justin Hyde, reporter for the Detroit Free Press, thanks so much for joining us. He's in the Washington Bureau there reporting on the deadline on Tuesday for General Motors and Chrysler to submit their restructuring plans to show how they plan to use the money that the federal government gave to them, more than $17 billion.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.